Okay. I have great appreciation for the clarity and the simplicity and the precision of Dharma teachings. The traditional ancient teachings of the Buddha Dharma. There is a clarity that resonates very easily in an open mind and a receptive heart. One part of the teachings is very basic, and that is that this is a world that we are living in that has particular characteristics that maybe we should know about. Since they form our experience, our understanding or lack of understanding of our lives. There are three characteristics innate to this world we live in, according to the Dharma teachings. And over the years, I've found these teachings, these statements to be actually true, accurate. The first characteristic of life on earth is that every person must experience some modicum of suffering. Life here for everyone, in varying degrees, involves suffering. Suffering being ranging from discontent and dissatisfaction in the mind, a constant gnawing feeling that things are not right, there's something wrong, to actual experiences of pain and discord that come with illness and accident. Just simply living in the body that is aging and deteriorating over time. Suffering is characteristic of this world. No one is immune. No one escapes it. Neither the rich nor the poor, nor the beautiful nor the not beautiful, nor the young, the old. Depending not on race or belief systems, it doesn't matter. For everyone, there is the experience of discord, dissatisfaction, and pain. It comes with life. That's a fact of life. In discovering our true nature in the search for who we are, the understanding of suffering is vitally important. It isn't just I am suffering, it's a shared experience. No matter who is speaking about it, it's true for everyone. In the Buddhist terminology in Pali, the word is dukkha. Dukkha is suffering of this kind. Another characteristic is that this is a place where it's contrary to how it appears to us in our senses, there is actually no separate self-sustaining existence of any kind whatsoever. There is nothing that exists alone and by itself. Not plants, not animals, not nature, and certainly not us. There is no separate existing self in this world. Although we may be desperately attempting all the time to make it seem continuous and solid like there is a self, in truth, it doesn't work. Anatta is the word for no self, no separate being. It's hard for the ego mind to get around that one and to listen closely and to be open to understanding. Because, of course, the ego mind is dedicated to being somebody separate. It's a function of the ordinary person's mind to think in terms of separation, think in terms of opposites, the inside and the outside, and the me and the not me, and the yes and the no, the good and the bad. We think that way. And we also lead our lives constructed on that belief of separate self. And yet, the Dharma teachings are that if you examine very closely, very carefully, for instance, in meditation practice and spiritual work, what it is that's happening, what you're actually experiencing, you will never find a separate me existing as a thing apart from everything else. Doesn't happen. Anatta, dukkha. And then the third aspect of our world that comes with the teaching is one that's most difficult actually to understand, to open to gracefully accept. And that is that this is a world of impermanence. Impermanence, anicca. Impermanence meaning exactly what the word says. And that is, there's not only nothing separate as self here, there is nothing that persists, endures. Everything that comes into being in our world is temporary, time limited. There's a beginning and an ending to everything that arises here, things and experience both. So that everything, even our material possessions, of course, are not permanent. They are destined to decay and disappear. Natural law. Everything that appears, that is born here, that comes into what we call existence, must at end come to an end at some point. There's no alternative to that. Impermanence. Well, it can be a good thing and a bad thing. It's not a matter of good or bad judgment. When there is great pain, we can be happy that it's impermanent. It will pass. We say, it will pass, it will pass. And even this now will pass. Or the impermanence can be very difficult and painful because it can mean great loss at any moment. Of course, I'm speaking of the impermanence of our own existence, our own lives, the impermanence of these bodies that we are so dependent upon and identified with. We also must come to an end and disappear. There is death. There is death. And the fact is, death is awaiting everyone, each of us, in impermanence. So it's not only that things you enjoy, your pleasures, are short-lived and will disappear, so therefore don't cling to them. It's also your very life is coming to an end at some point. Very hard to accept as an ego self, which we all are operating as in this world. And one occurrence that happens in our lives, pretty much everyone experiences this eventually, is the death of a loved one. That's when we really feel and get in our hearts the truth of impermanence. When someone that we are attached to, that we love deeply, who has been in our life for a long time and established a certain common mutuality, someone we trust, someone who brings joy simply by being with us, when that person meets the inevitable death moment and we are left behind, impermanence makes its impact then very strongly. We are destined actually in this world to lose everything that we hold on to, that we try desperately to make solid and continuous. The ego self, its job really is to continually manipulate our experience so that it appears like there is a continuity of experience being then therefore experienced by someone, me, here. But there is no such thing as an enduring anything in this world. And that teaching has many different resonances. For some people, it's painful, it's a horror to realize that at some point we must give up and experience the loss of what we hold most dear. It's very difficult and very painful. And this week in our community, we are reminded once again of impermanence by the passing, the death of a dear member, a dear friend, a dear spiritual friend, Dharma member, someone from our community passed away a few days ago. Lola Kameya. Lola, known to many of us, lovingly. A person admired and, yes, loved deeply by many, many people in our small world here. Lola, a woman of great beauty and grace, who seemed, from the point of view of all of us who were her friends, who seemed to face life every moment with optimism, with acceptance, with a kind of noble yes quality. Always cheerful, always ready to meet and encounter people who come near her. I can see her very clearly coming toward me, which I did have the experience many times, with a big smile on her face, ready to hug, to kiss me on the cheek, to greet me always the same way, no matter her own experience. And she, for a long time, was experiencing the struggle with pancreatic cancer. And she underwent a kind of several kinds of treatment that were not easy. They were very difficult and took a lot of effort to arrange. And we who accompanied her somewhat on this journey were aware that she was fighting in a way for her life to survive this terrible diagnosis. She refused to be despondent. She refused to be depressed about it. She simply saw it as another way that she must direct her efforts at living wisely, cheerfully. Lola, a beautiful, exemplary, incredibly, I think, extraordinarily outstanding human being. Loving, kind, gracious, compassionate. I never once heard her speak unfairly, negatively of anyone, hardly of anything. Not even her cancer. She was a gracious, joyful, very awake woman, a friend. She was trained as a Sassoon cosmetologist. Beauty care. And for many of us, she was she who cuts hair. And our encounters with her occurred through that for many of us, I know. And it was always a pleasure when she arrived at our house or we went to her house for our appointments. It was always a joyful occasion, because Lola was always beautiful and kind and heartwarming. Always, always, always. And then the last time we saw her, we didn't know it would be our last time that we would see her. It was only a few days ago, a few days before her death. She told us that she was going to, she had decided to have the recommended surgery because the cancer had spread to her liver. And the surgery was radically drastic. And when I heard her describe it, I had a contraction in my heart. This is very difficult. This is not good. And the story that I have received from friends is that the surgery did happen and the recovery did not go well. I don't know exactly what occurred, but how could removing half of the liver go well, it seems to me. And there was a point where what I have heard from others is that Lola said, "I'm tired. I have given it my best. This work with this cancer, I have done my best. I'm tired and I'm finished." And she gave up that fight for existence and passed away peacefully, I'm told, with friends, loved ones nearby. Lola. Almost every Sunday she was here at Dharma. She visited retreat at Pachamama, our silent retreats, so that she could feel the atmosphere, the silence, the solitude that occurs in a retreat setting. She visited the retreats to experience the peace that occurs there. She always asked me how my last retreat went, what happened, when's the next one. Lola, kindness, a kind of presence that can only be described as sweet, sweet presence. She gave it her best and was tired and said, "Enough, I'm done," and left us. Impermanence, anicca, natural law, the way it is here. But it's so difficult to understand because it hurts so badly to lose a loved one. It hurts so badly to lose anything that we value and love. And yet, that's the destiny that awaits for us who love. Those of us who love deeply, and there are many, many, many in this community and in this room who love deeply. And I think what courage it takes to love here. To have compassion, to be kind. What courage, knowing full well the truth of impermanence. There's always loss or gain. We live our lives between those extremes of loss and gaining, pleasure, pain, praise, blame, disrepute, fame. Our lives are spent negotiating events and occurrences and our reactions to them between those polarities called the worldly dharmas. Well, Lola was a great warrior, in the sense of she who is consistently alert and ready to be awake, no matter what is the experience. A great warrior, a great friend, a wonderful human being. So, it's also important to acknowledge that she's gone. She's gone from this earthly life. Never again will we see her. We didn't know it was the last time. So it's important to acknowledge that and to say goodbye, to wish her well in this journey, her journey to awakening, to send her loving thoughts wherever she is. At this point, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think anyone does, really. So goodbye to Lola Kamea, great friend, beautiful human being, and acceptance of the loss for all of us in this community of such a beautiful person. Nothing lasts here. Nothing lasts. Your moments of pain don't last. Your moments of fear don't last. Although fear and pain seem to come back over and over and over again, they're constantly demanding our attention and our opening hearts and minds. It's very difficult when there's so much loving kindness to accept that impermanence means she's gone. Gone. And a number of friends that I think of now also. The shirt belonged to John McNerney, who was a dear friend who was here often on Sunday mornings also. Died over a year and a half ago. People, we are here only temporarily. It's a short time, actually. What that can mean to us when we get it and are not in denial of impermanence, what that can mean is that we realize that it's important to love. It's important to be kind and respectful of each other. In fact, other than love, I see nothing worth holding on to. Love makes it all endurable. Love is the most important aspect of human life that we are in the process of learning about. At the moment of death, at the moment when you're leaving this life, I'm sure there's an understanding that what's important is not how many possessions, how powerful you are, how well-respected you are, whatever your accomplishments have been. None of that is important. The only thing that's important is how well have I loved? how well have I loved? And Lola loved very well. And we were, many of us, witnesses to that. Benefactors. Receiving. Impermanence. Impermanence. You see, mostly humans are in denial of death. And in our Western society, that denial is pervasive. It's huge. It's behind so many of our rituals and our rites and our belief systems, is the denial of impermanence. And yet, when a loved one leaves, how graphic, how more realistic could be our experience of the importance of accepting, understanding impermanence. And when we do, how that changes us, we realize only love matters. Kindness matters. Compassion matters. Nothing that we accomplish in this world comes anywhere near that. How well have I loved? So I say, goodbye to Lola. Fare thee well. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your caring. Thank you for your life. Thank you for the example you have set for us behind. Thank you. That kind of thankfulness means so much now. This is the week of Thanksgiving, right? I give thanks for having known Lola Kamea for a period of time. I give thanks for her gifts, for what I have learned from participating in her life. And I give thanks to all of you for listening. And to you, those of you whom I know were friends of Lola's, you know what I'm speaking about. Goodbye, Lola. Impermanence is how it is here in this world. No matter what you may think of it, no matter what our opinions are, whether we like it or not is not the issue. Awareness doesn't care about our opinions about anything, really. So, once again reminded, loving kindness, compassion, taking pleasure in each other's joys and successes. Speaking well of others. Gratitude for our lives in this beautiful place. The freedom that we have to come together like this. this morning. I heard a story this week about Thanksgiving. In 1973, there was a 17-year-old high school senior named Mary Moran in a high school in Rhode Island, Wakefield, Rhode Island. And there's a yearly essay contest at Thanksgiving time for our students there. And she wrote an essay on Thanksgiving that won the contest. And the essay that she wrote was about the absurdity of Thanksgiving as a holiday, the absurdity of it. She said, it's a day when people come together around a table laden with food and give thanks to a God not hardly any of them believe in. And she said more than that in her essay, that being thankful means also being happy. Happiness and gratitude come together. It's true. She said, and people aren't really able to be thankful because man is not happy. And man is not happy because he's never satisfied. He's never satisfied. This is an essay written by a 17-year-old high school senior. Now, the tradition in the state is for the governor to read that essay as his proclamation, and the governor of Rhode Island refused. Because he didn't believe it, that young girl's essay. And he made up one of his own, of course, which was not nearly as profound and deep. But when this young girl, Mary Moran, read her essay to her school, the students cheered and clapped. Great applause for her. So she was not entirely unnoticed. Man is not happy because man is never satisfied. Well, Lola Kamea was satisfied. She said, I've given it my best. I've done what I can do. I'm finished. That's satisfaction. I'm finished. I've done my job. The job for each of us is to love, to learn how to truly love and respect each other. So, on your journey toward the end, please remember what's important will be how well you have loved. That goes for each of us. And today, the passing of Lola is a gift. Another gift from her, a reminder of the importance of loving each other unconditionally, unconditionally. Please. That's Thanksgiving. Thank you.